Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today.
There are several things that I hadn't thought of before until Nancy asked me two or three questions. And one threw me completely, which was about how my parents treated me and what impact that may have had on the way I brought up my kids. And that is something I hadn't really thought of. So there was some thought here that I was not anticipating, but I'm glad it happened.
Welcome, everybody, to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. Priscilla Vang owns a Payroll Vault franchise in St. Paul, Minnesota, and is our sponsor for today's mentoring conversation. Priscilla discovered through helping clients find tax solutions that they need a payroll service they can count on. She has taken her client-focused skills, accountancy degree, and technology-driven software tools to help business owners redefine how they do payroll. This saves time and money. You can call 1-651-783-2509. That's 1-651-783-2509. Or just click on the homepage button of wementor.com and go directly to Payroll Vault and Priscilla. You can get 50% off on the setup fee when you tell her you listen to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. So thanks so much, Priscilla, for sponsoring today's program. Now on to today's second mentoring conversation with Ursula Menges. She founded Sales Coach in 2004. She's going to tell us a little bit more about that in a few minutes. She's an award-winning sales expert, inspirational speaker, and a four-book author so far. She is specialized in neurolinguistic programming and teaches clients the tools needed to double and triple their sales. Her books include Selling with Intention, Selling with Synchronicity, One Great Goal, and her most recent book, The Belief Zone, which is what we'll be exploring also in a little bit more detail in our today's conversation. Ursula grew up in the heart of Minnesota's farm country. You heard a little bit about that. And she made her way to Boulder, Colorado with a great mentor from her friend that she met at St. Olaf College when she was getting her undergraduate degree in psychology and communications. Jana, her friend, got her degree in economics. And eventually from Boulder, Colorado, she made her way to California and now is back in Minnesota. It's been a full circle. Along the way, hi, Ursula. How are you?
Great. How are you?
No technology issues the second time around. I'm great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's right. Got a degree in counseling from California Baptist College. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, California Baptist University. I wanted to get a master's degree in coaching, but at the time, this was in the 2003 to 2005. At the time, I couldn't find one. So I decided, you know what, this is the closest thing. So it's a degree in marriage and family therapy. And I did. I actually had to counsel some families and some couples in order to graduate. So that was an interesting experience. It kind of made me realize that that wasn't the career that I was going to go down. I knew I wasn't, but it really confirmed that that wasn't the career for me. But I loved the coaching aspect. So I really loved solution-focused counseling, which to me is very close to coaching. And I loved everything about that experience and just getting that degree. I'm a lifelong learner. I mean, I'd love to get my PhD someday. So it was great to be back in school. And then all those skills have served me really well, not only in coaching, but also in recognizing when someone needs something different than coaching, or if I'm coaching them, maybe they need some other support in some other areas through counseling. So it's been a great tool in my toolbox. And the other piece was that it was important was just the legal and ethical part of counseling to me should be included in every coaching program. And I feel very strongly about this. And when I was getting my degree, a lot of the leaders in the International Coaches Federation, there was a lot of people saying that we were moving toward licensing as coaches, but we haven't yet. And so there's this whole thing out there about just really being careful with, you know, your clients and making sure their experience is great. Because I think as a coach, you know, it's easy to forget how powerful you are in that position. And yes, you can make a great difference, but yet you have to treat that role with such care and kid gloves. And so it just helped reinforce a lot of the things that, you know, I had been thinking about at the time.
Yeah. Did you get your master's degree before you worked at, became president at the International Computer Training and Consulting, or how did you work that in?
Yeah, it was after. So it was pretty much like as I was starting my business, I started that, I started the master's program and I became an NLP certified coach. So it was all this stuff that was happening at the same time. I don't recommend that. It was a pretty stressful time. But I'm one of those people that just like to knock it all out and get it done. So yeah, that was my goal.
And for those who are not familiar with the term, NLP means neuro-linguistic programming. And how does that show up in your sales camp training that you do?
Yeah, so I'm an NLP certified coach. I'm not a practitioner. And for people who are in that field, that there's a big difference because practitioners have gone really deep and wide. As a coach, I really learned how to, one, help people change their beliefs, which has been such a powerful tool. And number two, how to really use the power of visualization and other tools. But really, those two have served me and my clients so well. And those are the things that I brought into sales training. So at sales training now, you know, we start by changing people's limiting beliefs about sales and selling before we get into any of the strategy. And then every time we set goals in class, or we shift something, I use visualization. We close our eyes, we actually visualize, and we do something called future pacing where we imagine we're in the future, we get in touch with all of our senses, and then we reverse engineer back to our current moment. And what's cool about that is our subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between what we're imagining and really what's real. And so it's an easy way to supercharge your goals and get there faster because you're programming your mind to like it's already done. And so then you're acting from that place versus not knowing what to do.
And I can see where that's too really helpful. You must implement it, that. So a lot of your clients go through the sales camp before they start working with you through individual coaching, or how does that work? Okay.
Yes.
Because I could see the natural kind of segue because they get used to your style and they can see easily how neuro-linguistic programming works. So you can play around a little bit with it. And then how do you use it when you transition people into individual coaching with you?
Sure. So limiting beliefs can pop up during coaching sessions. And I can really quickly, especially because they've been through it at sales camp, but I can really quickly take them through a belief change process to move them out from that limiting belief. And I use visualization exercises in a lot of our group coaching and sometimes in the private coaching as well, depending on what people need. But you know, after they've been through 2 days of sales camp, they've gotten so much under their belts that we can usually move pretty quickly because we know what their plan is. We've helped them shift beliefs already, and it's a much faster trajectory. In the past, we would start clients like from ground zero without sales camp, and it was painful for them and for us. So we know that 2 days of sales camp really sets the foundation for a strong coaching relationship.
Well, and I like the way you send out a podcast ahead of time so that people can start collecting the names of their clients. And then, so like when I went through sales camp earlier this year, I felt so prepared coming in, like, okay, I've got my client list and we're focused on a 90-day goal and, you know, I'm going to move through this. And I like the way that you have a sales contest and, you know, so someone can pass on the training, which I don't mind telling the audience that I won.
Yes.
And it was fun. Yeah. Passing it on to a person that attended one of my events. So.
Yes. And thank you, by the way. And yeah, it's not everyone loves the sales contest idea coming in. It's kind of scary. Like we're going to make real, you know, phone calls. But then after that, everyone's always so happy that not only did they survive, but most people leave voicemails and get calls back or they get appointments. And, it, you know, having that real world experience in the classroom gives people a shift. We call it getting in the muscle so that when you leave and you're back at your desk Monday morning sitting there by yourself, you remember, you know what? I did this already. I can do it again.
Yeah, for sure. For me, I was a little zealous in mine, and I actually had someone back out of my event that I was enrolling people in, one of the mini labs, because I was too like aggressive. Yeah, I was way too excited.
You? Aww.
I know. I thought that was so bizarre, but at the same time, I'm like, you know, that just happens.
Yeah, that surprises me because you have such a genuine, authentic approach. It might not have been about you. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Right. Well, and this is, you know, I'm working on letting go of attachments, so I'm not going to make it about me. But there was a little gem in there for me to learn. So I do appreciate that experience. And how are you with, so do you go back to the sales camp group at all and like check in with people around the 90-day goal time?
We probably check in with them sooner. We do have our sales camp alumni Facebook group, so we try to stay in touch there. And then often there's people who come through sales camp and they immediately decide that they want to be part of our coaching community. So they sign up for coaching and they move forward. And there's other people who say, you know what, I'm not quite ready for coaching, but I want to come back in 90 days at the end of my 90 days and sit sales camp again. So we do have that trajectory. So my team's always checking in with people. Where are they? What do they need right now? What kind of support do they want? Just trying to be available to help them however we can.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, and you do a great job of that. Yeah. I'm glad to be just in your group.
Thank you. We're glad to have you.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Let's see. Did you want to talk a little bit more about your new book? Because I just think there's a lot to say about beliefs. Mm-hmm. And how early they, like I have worked with, so I've been running groups and working with entrepreneurs since 1992 officially. And I, and we're always talking about money, because mm-hmm. we're setting financial goals and we're tracking, and that's where, the financial pressure always, the tension is. And I have exercises where people go back and, you know, we explore kind of what you were trained about your money beliefs. And, there was something that struck me in your sales camp, about you had said we set the price early of what we're worth.
Did I say that? That's really good. I don't remember.
I know. Isn't that good? Yeah. And that's totally has stuck with me. Like, wow, where did I set the price for myself? And is that limiting or is that freeing?
Well, it's an interesting, so the money beliefs are so fascinating to me because we all have a financial set point. And so it really shows up for entrepreneurs or salespeople because subconsciously we'll make the same amount of money every single month. So even if you're a sales professional or an entrepreneur and you have an awesome month and your sales skyrocket, most of the time the next month is lower and the next month might be higher. It's kind of like a little bit of a roller coaster ride. But then when you look back and you average it out, like you're hitting that same amount every single month. It's totally subconscious. And it took me a long time. Like I kept seeing this with my clients. I was like, what is that all about? Yeah. And so that became this question of, you know, how much money are we willing to let in? You know, what do we think we're worth? When, you know, how much do you think we're worth? And where did we learn that? And often, often we don't make a lot more money than the people we're surrounded by, right? Jim Rohn said, we're the average of the five people we spend the most time with. That has always stuck with me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, who am I spending time with, right? It's not about not spending time with certain people. It is about, you know, those people that up-level you. Like, who can you spend time with that's making the amount of money you want to make plus? Because that's a totally different conversation. I mean, Oprah's a great example, right? She came from nothing and now she's a billionaire. I mean, that trajectory is unbelievable. But think how much her beliefs had to grow and expand over the years. And I think one of the reasons she was able to do it is because of the people she kept surrounding herself by. Like, think about all the people she interviewed on her show. Right? Somehow they, each one of them expanded her in some way and her belief in what was possible. And she was, like, intentionally, in my opinion, surrounded by people who were where she wanted to be or where she saw herself someday. Like Barbara Walters was, right? Wasn't Barbara Walters one of her
mentors,
idols, mentors, and someone that she said. So, I mean, if you look at how her life played out, she was very intentional about who she surrounded herself with and the kind of conversation she's having. So I think it's important to really just pay attention to, you know, what you believe about money, you know, and have that conversation with yourself, but also look at who you surround yourself with and how you surround yourself. Right. And again, Oprah's a great example of, think about how she surrounds herself, like her environment. She's very intentional about that. At
least and she said her therapy was her show, because every guest, she really focused on trying to learn what they were talking about.
Yeah. Wow. Right.
Yeah. And she also then had this belief to expand others. Like, she just, she could have made a decision to kind of sit on all her money, but she learned the art of passing it on.
Yes. Well, and that's such an important belief. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, continue with what you were going to say.
Well, that belief, that piece of, if you give a lot of money away, you must, and you have an expensive lifestyle like she does, right? Or whatever you want to call it. Expensive is my word, right? For her, it's just her lifestyle. But if you if you're going to give a lot away, you have the belief and the expectation that more money is coming, or you wouldn't be able to give it away, right? So the word expectation is such a hot word in quantum physics right now, because that's the word that everyone's tying to. Like, there's one thing where you feel like you believe something. There's another level where you actually expect something to happen. So for Oprah, she expects, okay, I'm going to give $10 million away. I'm going to start this school in Africa for these girls, or do these amazing things. And it's going to cost, you know, millions and millions of dollars. And the flip side is, and I believe I'm going to start this network, and I believe more money is going to keep coming. Like, her belief that money is going to keep flowing is so strong. And I think as entrepreneurs, that's where we get stuck, is in the belief, like, if I spend money here, what's going to happen? Versus I just, you know, I'm doing all the right things and I expect it to keep happening. So that's the loop, right? You think of the infinity symbol of the flow of money. Like, when you can get to that place of, yes, I'm doing this, yes, I'm giving away, and yes, I believe more is coming, it seems to me like that's when it really starts to happen for people.
Well, and I think people's infinity ring kind of can leak once they get wounded in some major way.
Yes.
And if they don't know how to rise strong and really recover from that, they're always kind of a little gun shy and thinking that the money is going to run out.
Yes. It's an interesting way to say it. It's a leaky infinity symbol. That's right. Like, it just, like, it creates this piece where you've lost that belief. And I think I know this work is what you do all the time, Nancy. I mean, I assume it's just so important for people at that moment to find that coach or that mentor or someone to help plug that leak, right?
Right.
And to build you whole again, to make sure that you can get back to those beliefs you had before.
Well, and I think what we've learned from, like, Brené Brown's book, all her materials and her work and research on shame and vulnerability, is that with the natural tendency, and what we see people do all the time, is when you get hurt, you tighten up and you take less risks.
Sure.
But when you know the process, you know, to heal from those experiences and forgive yourself for, you know, and take the time to kind of nurture and suture that little wound, that you can really build yourself out in a really cool, different way. But people don't always want to take the time to go back into the pain and kind of analyze it to the degree. But that's where I think you really seal up the leak in the infinity, and it becomes brighter and stronger and thicker when you do the deep core work, not just the superficial, you know, suture, you know, tie it up and, you know, do a quick fix. But take the time to kind of go and do the deeper work so that you can come out on the other side with a really cool, different perspective.
Yeah, such a great point. I mean, to work for myself personally, I worked with healers, I worked with coaches, I worked with mentors, and then it was writing about it. And I remember working with Amanda, my book coach. She's a more than that. She's a book expert. She's one of my best friends. She's an incredible messenger strategist. But she said to me, she's like, you have to tell the story. And I'm like, yeah, I do. And the more I wrote about it and the deeper and wider I went and the more I talked about it, like really talked about, you know, what it's like to be facing the loss of everything, right? Which again, first world problem. I live in the United States of America. I had to get to the belief where I could, you know, build it again. But in that moment, there's a lot of shame. There's a lot of shame. Yeah. And my husband and I went through that. We had shame because we overextended ourselves clearly in real estate. But then the flip side, like my mom said, she goes, yeah, but if the market would have kept going, you would have kept going with that. So there were both sides of it. And I really had to come to terms with that. But writing about it and putting it out there and talking about events. In fact, Tim actually came and spoke at one of my One Great Goal retreats. And he got up there and we talked together about what it was like to go through that experience as a couple and what we had to do to not let it tear our relationship apart. And man, it was amazing. The people who came up and talked to us afterwards, you know, and talked to Tim about, you know, the gentleman who came and talked to Tim and just, you know, them sharing their own stories. But, you know, going from shame to even being able to talk about it, the story like just really diminishes the pain and the shame that might have been there.
Yeah, you shed light on it so it doesn't have so much power.
Right.
Yeah. Excellent. Oh, and now we're in this time where our awareness has gone from money to like sexual abuse.
Yes.
And all this predatory sexual behavior is going on and documents being revealed of, you know, like I'm coming to terms with this in the Catholic faith of a grand jury report, thousands of pages, and just the trauma of how the system is set up for predatory behaviors to really flourish. And that gymnastics coach too, you know, there was a whole web built up of people who were protecting the predator. So, you know, unraveling all of that has been really challenging right now, but I'm glad it's all coming out. But I'm just hoping that there'll be really dramatic change as well.
Yeah, I think we're in a time of complete transparency, right? It's starting to feel like it's just
right.
Like
everything's out there. Yes.
Coming out. We, you know, in our community, in the Sales Coach Now and Synchronized community, our own Tori Ivanek just wrote a book called No Big Deal. And it was, it's about her journey of letting her story out. And her perpetrator was much older. She was much older and he went to jail. And it's just her story of just courage and what she had to go through and then putting the book out there and what that's been like. And she's been interviewed on just tons of podcasts and her book is doing really well. And I just give her so much credit for, you know, being willing to tell her story. But part of it
courage.
And the people, you know, just all of the women who have come forward who are creating this tidal wave of transparency. And I know it's not just for women either. I'm seeing a lot of men stepping forward now and telling their story and saying it's, you know, we've been affected as well. We want to talk about our story. But yeah, it's like we're in a time of transparency. And, you know, like you said, when someone shines a light on their pain, their shame, it just illuminates it for everybody else so that they can share their pain and shame as well, because we're all humans.
Well, and that's what's unique about this grand jury report, uncovering all the predatory behaviors that happened in Pennsylvania for hundreds of priests and thousands of kids, that the majority of the kids were boys.
Yes.
So this is the first time that we're hearing to such a degree of the exploitation of these young boys.
Mm-hmm.
So not that there weren't girls and, you know, other as well, but the majority in the report said that it was the majority were boys.
Yeah, it's so shocking. I've been reading about it. It's just it is mind blowing. And yet I wonder, it's interesting that how this is coming out, because it makes me think that there's so many other boys' stories that need to be told, not only, you know, in sexual abuse, but but human trafficking. I think that's a story that goes untold, is how many boys are being trafficked and we're not talking about it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So we're in very, very turbulent times, you know, everything, like you're saying, yeah, complete transparency. And I'm hoping from all of this that we can kind of embrace our humanity.
Yes.
In a way that causes dramatic shifts in how we set up companies and how we're in interacting in institutions. You know, no more secrecy.
Yeah, I mean, it seems, I hope as well and pray that, that is the result that comes through. And but I think you're keying in on something else, because I think there's this also this side of it that, how do I say this? Like there's this, you can see across every industry, across every institution, right, that people are imperfect. We're human. And there's something in that for everyone to work on, for us to work on ourselves, right? Because we can all look and point our fingers and say, look at what's happening over here. But I think collectively, I think we all have work to do and things to be transparent about and to shed light on.
And we've all been affected by this. You know, there's not a family that hasn't gone through the trauma. And just to also, you know, reconciling within yourself, you know, what was my part in this? And how do I come out of this? You know, do I leave? Do I stay? How is this affecting my family? Can we talk about it in our families? You know, there are all these different places to bring truth and keep truth telling about what we're experiencing, because the majority of victims were not even believed nor heard. You know, and that's where we need to be freed up from all of that. So our belief systems play a part, I think, in all of these different behaviors that come out and different life experiences. I'm not sure how to wind this up, actually, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's, well, I think, you know, part of it in this, I think in these turbulent times is, I know for myself personally, I can speak about me. When I get online and I read these stories, I have to be really careful because I can get sucked in, pulled in, and just, you know, I'm an empath. So I feel a lot of pain. I feel my clients' pain. I feel the world's pain. And I'm also someone, you know, I want to stay up to date with what's going on in the world. And I just kind of have to, I have to balance it out. And I'll tell you, Nancy, there are days when I've just cried, like some of the stories I've read online and things that are happening in the world. And it's made me, you know, reach out. It's made me, one, spend more quality time with Tim and Luca and, you know, really be focused on that, more time with my mom, my family, the people who I really care about, my friends, and to just be conscious of how I'm showing up. Yeah. And, you know, can I be a better friend? Can I be a better sister? Can I be all of those things? And the answer is absolutely yes. I am a work in progress. And so I think if we can take all the stuff that's happening and if it can lead us all into a place of just being more human and being there for each other in this human way, because we're all fallible. We're all going to fall. Sometimes we all have a shadow self. We're imperfect.
Yeah.
But to, you know, and to give as much compassion and empathy as we can. And it starts close to home, because I think it's easy. It's easiest to not give, you know, to be as compassionate to my husband. I can give lots of compassion to my clients or, you know, here over here. And sometimes I forget to give it to my husband. Right. And so, you know, to take that, you know, that feeling and to, you know, give it to the people we love the most and start at home. I know that has a reaching effect, but then also to think about the organizations that we can be part of, the nonprofits that we can support to just to help people right now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, this has been a very enriching and very deep conversation. You know, that's the other thing. I think salespeople sometimes get a bad rap too. Of being manipulative and just selling maybe the benefits but not going deeper into the deep relationships. Mm-hmm. And I think that the best salespeople that I know, including you, have these very enriching relationships with people and a huge desire to stay connected and grow with people through whatever they're experiencing.
Yeah, thank you. And I reflect that same back to you that just that, you know, and for everyone who's listening, that it's okay to be authentic. You know, there used to be a time when you had to have a certain kind of cadence when you were selling and, you know, follow the sales script and throw all of that out the window, because we are in a time of transparency and authenticity. And if I've learned anything, it's that when I just show up to serve, yeah, amazing things can happen. And either that person's going to be my client or they're not, and I can refer them to someone else like you who might be a better fit. That's fantastic, right? Like, we just got to serve people and meet them where they are and see how we can help. And it's, you know, selling doesn't have to be that scary, negative thing that it's been perceived to be in the past.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for such a beautiful two conversations. I'm looking forward to having another conversation with you on your podcast.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, that'll be
fun.
Thanks
for having me.
Turn the tables. Oh, absolutely. And you've got a free gift, and you're also an advertiser on WeMentor.com. And your fee. Tell us about the free gift.
Yes. So we have a cool PDF. It's short and sweet because I know time is of the essence for everyone these days. But if you go to salescoachnow.com/gift, you can get it there. Or go to the WeMentor website. You can see, depending on when you listen to this, the box will still be there for you to click on. And it's called 6 Secrets to Doubling Your Sales. And it's easy, but I hope it inspires you to take some different action today.
Excellent. All right. Well, everybody, take what the pearls that you've gotten from our conversation and put it into action. And Ursula, thank you so much for being who you are and continue your writings. I really love the way you write and how your books come together. You've got so many action items in there. You can go at your own pace, but there's a lot of wisdom in these books, and they're easy to read and follow along, or not follow along, but really make incremental changes and shifts in how you're selling or thinking about goal achievement, and really being intentional and understanding what that means.
Thank you, Nancy. I want to say thank you for what you're doing in the world and who you are and how you show up. I know we're kindred spirits, and I'm just so glad to know you. And thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Great. All right. And thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère, brother from another mother. And we'll thank you, audience, for tuning in. And we'll see you for another meaningful conversation that will make a difference in your life. See you next Monday. Do you want to promote your business and grow in your leadership skills? Here are a few ways you can promote your business and get leadership help through WeMentor Inc. You can be a podcast guest. Challenge yourself to share who you are on air. We'll help you out. Secondly, you can sponsor our podcast program. You can invest a small fee to have you and your company name announced at the beginning and end of one or more shows. The third way that you can promote your business and grow in your leadership skills is you can set up an individual strategy session to do work one-on-one with me, focusing on specific life and leadership issues and skills you want to acquire. Or the fourth way is you can join an entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab. These ELM labs start throughout the year. They are small groups of 5 to 9 business owners who are out to profoundly shift their lives and lead with authenticity. In 2016, I became a registered yoga instructor and mindfulness meditation teacher. I also became certified online with Brené Brown's Brave Leadership and Courage Works courses to learn an effective process of being all in, falling, getting up, and trying again. In turn, I can mentor others in how to dare greatly and rise strong. I feel better equipped to help you forge ahead in these times of great uncertainty. Our Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Lab process is an integrated approach to leadership development. We do yoga, meditation, and leadership revolution skill setting. Yes, we will help you learn how to strengthen your body, strengthen your mind, and increase your emotional stamina as part of our leadership development process. Along with learning about real-world business planning and strategic planning, we do what works. Get involved, get started. You can reach me at 612-804-8920 or go to wementor.com and connect with us. Lastly, if you like our podcast program, help us keep it going. You can donate to our program. Just go to the wementor.com website, click on Buy button, and fill in the donation amount that you would like to contribute. We appreciate any and all contributions. See you next week.